Jesus' name, we love you so much. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this weekend of just rest, that we just rest in you today. And we learn to rest in you every day. Holy Spirit, we just give you full reign during this message today. Say what you want to say in the way you want to say it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. So I got some, you know me, I use lots of scriptures. I want to encourage you. There's not enough time for me to like do everything. So when I give you lots of scripture, I just want to challenge you, go back and read it and study it and let the Lord keep building on it, because we're going to, everybody, I used to have a teacher that used to do this, but nobody wears watches anymore. So everybody raise your watch. We're going deep. So I know like things that are like dated and jokes, but old people get it. But hey, watches are getting trendy again. all right. If you can write down Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 35, Ephesians 4, verses 16 and 29 through 30, and Colossians 2:2. This is kind of the glue of my message. Got a ton more scripture. So once again, write down Isaiah chapter 35 to go back and study it. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 16 and then 29 through 30, and Colossians 2:2. All right, so who hates running besides me? Literally, I hate running. You want to get me a mood swing? Wake me up early in the morning and then make me go running. So it's really funny. I'm just being honest. When people are like, would you like to run with me? I was like, no. I have this motto in the youth ministry. I have many mottos. My youth leaders will laugh. But one of my mottos is, I only run to save lives. I only run to save lives, and someone better be bleeding when I get there. Like, I'm just being straight. Like, I don't yell. I'm not a yeller, and I don't run. So, and I especially hate if you do have to run. Like, I remember having to train for certain things. I hate running alone. Anybody else hate running alone? There's a reason why. Because everybody really needs a running buddy in life. Raise your hand if you have a running buddy. By the end of this message, you're going to want to get one. Okay, how about this one? How about a gym buddy? Anybody got a gym buddy? Okay, yeah, my mom will talk. Where's mom at? She's downstairs. All right, so a gym buddy. So the reason why we need a gym buddy is because we would honestly quit fast if we didn't have one, right? How many people were really good about going to the gym, those New Year's resolutions? How long do New Year's resolutions normally last without a gym buddy? Yeah, you're lucky if you get through the end of January. Okay, so me, I found out really quick when I started going to the gym that I needed a gym buddy, because by the time I worked myself up after a year of doing the elliptical only, yep, that's me. I'm the girl that pays that monthly membership to do the old man machine for 1 hour and then leave. I finally I got enough courage to go into the meathead room. Anybody know what the meathead room is? Yeah, you know, the weight room with all the guys with no neck. So intimidating. So I finally go to the weight room and I'm like trying to read and study without looking really stupid. Like the little diagrams that are like this big. So, you know, any people that wear contacts besides myself and are trying not to go up one, you're like looking and then you look really dumb and out of place, right? So most people go to the gym and they act like they know what they're doing. And then 2 months later, you realize that you are a contestant on the YouTube Gym Fails. Anyone besides myself realize they were doing about 3 machines backwards and nobody bothered to tell you for 2 months? Yeah. Anybody know what Gym Fails are? Okay, little Googling. Listen, enjoy YouTube on this one. There are some good things on YouTube. Type in Gym Fails, and it's all these like secret cameras where people are like secretly videoing people doing gym equipment wrong. It's hilarious, and I might be on one or two of those. okay, so there's something to be said about having a gym buddy. Why do you think marathons are so popular? Because it's a part of a group, a community. They're not running alone per se, and we're always better together, right? We tend to go further if we're in a pack, because God didn't call us to run this race alone. So Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 2 is one of my favorite scriptures. And it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight, the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. There's something to be said about being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And some people like translate the scripture as the witnesses in heaven, like a grandstand in heaven cheering us on. I think that means that, and also being surrounded by a community of believers and church family that are cheering for you in this race. So the Bible constantly tells us to stay connected to a body, right? The body of Christ. We need church family. We need a community of believers to cheer us on. Otherwise, Satan will slowly start to tempt you to get into a certain habit of not setting your alarm on Sunday morning. Oh, I worked so hard this week. I'm just going to sleep in. I'd rather you sleep through my service. And yes, I know who you are right now. I would rather you sleep through my service, to be honest with you. At least you made it. Do you know why? Because you got touched by the presence of God the moment you walked through this door. Because those greeters showed you some love. For some people, that's the only genuine hug that they received all week. And if you're not a hugger, the most genuine, I'm so happy to see you. Right? And then you got hit by this other wave at the Coffee Care and Connect Center, where they're trying to connect you with God, what God's doing in the body of Christ, and actually get to know you. Man, for you people that come in late, I'm just glad you made it. Do you know why? Because you connect with the body believers and worshiping together and get encouraged. So, and I know people that come halfway through the service. I have friends that come halfway through the service every time they come. I am just so happy they made it. Do you know why? Because they still got encouraged. And on the way out, honestly, they normally stay about 30 minutes late because they're encouraged and build up on the way out. There is something to be said about staying connected to a body of believers. But we can't listen to Satan who slowly starts getting our priorities out of whack, right? So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we got to remember that Satan slowly wants to change your priorities. Who's our number one priority? Jesus, right? And after that, you know, there's like, Dad used to have a priority sheet. Anybody know my dad's priority sheet? It's a really good one to like check out. But top of our priority list is number one, just connecting with Jesus as the head, right? But we also have to stay connected with the body of Christ. And there's a reason. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says this, let us not neglect our meeting together as is in the habit, everybody say habit. How many people have some bad habits besides picking your nose and wiping it under your seat when you're driving? Yeah. Hey, we've all been there. Moving along. All right. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Okay. So a good habit is the habit of gathering together with other Christians, right? And you know, a lot of people gather. I have friends at other churches. I love going to my other friends' church services. I could just like worship and praise God. And I'm really good friends with Pastor Ashley Hilliard over at Gateway Community Church. And anytime I'm at her church, I'm in the back like a little high school girl, like talking to my friend and like cracking jokes. Because I'm so happy to be gathering together with other people, right? Celebrating God and fellowshipping. But do not neglect the meeting together. Neglect starts to become a habit, right? But be encouraged. It says encourage one another. This needs to be our habit, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So let me throw you out. Let me not throw you out. Stay here. Don't go. TV church. I love people. I was like, say, hey, I have friends that go to other churches. So, hey, how was service or whatever? Oh, I went to TV church this morning. Guys, TV church is not real church. Because are we meeting together? Are we gathering together? Are we encouraging one another? No. But I'll tell you, I honestly, every time I'm at the gym, I'm listening to another message. I listen to other churches, other ministers. I am constantly being built up. But that is getting built up in the word, right? But it's not building each other up and encouraging one another and worshiping together. So when people say, I went to TV church, don't beat them upside the head, but see if God can give you kind of a word of encouragement to get them reconnected. So what normally starts, how many people have a friend that says they go to TV church? Yeah, yeah. Literally, people say this all the time. It started with a habit that was created, right? You know, let's just be honest. It was like, you know, I stopped setting my alarm, slowly started sleeping in. Ah, Sunday's family day. It's game day. It's soccer practice. They got a boat. Never saw them again after that. I love boats, man. I used to actually work for a company. How many people know bass boat fishing? Them boats go fast. I used to actually work with a company that did the apparel, so I would go to those tournaments and bass boat rides. They are fun, but not always the best idea to skip church every Sunday and go to TV church. All right, because church is the gathering together and encouraging of believers. So Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, day by day, continuing with one mind, worshiping in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. That means barbecuing together. How many people like barbecuing and inviting people over? Let's burn stuff together outside our house. Okay. And they were sharing meals with great joy and generosity. All right, what's my point? By the way, let me give you my message because we get to some good places. Holy Spirit, part 9, my title, prophesy grace for the race. So let's get to our point here. We were never meant to run alone. We are never meant to run isolated and lonely to fulfill God's will. So quiet today. Where are we going? We're going to be encouraged. Don't worry. So the Bible is filled with people that fulfilled their destiny that God called them to by relying on God, right? We have to rely on God. But the second part, it says this, he also would connect them with other people that God put in their race with them. Read your Bible. Paul had what? Who? Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, all different roles. Barnabas, you know what his name means? Son of encouragement. If anybody needed encouragement, and I don't have time to teach it, maybe I'll teach it next week, or I'm at least teaching on the church picnic day. But Paul was pressed from every side. He was persecuted. For those people that think signing up for being a Christian is just a walk of like cake and sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, you're obviously not reading your New Testament because it's hard. How many people found out being a Christian is hard, right? That's why we need people to encourage us to not quit. Amen? So God used powerful people that first had to rely on him and be close with the Lord in that one-on-one time. But also God would put them in strategic divine connections with running buddies, right? So they wouldn't quit. Jesus sent out his disciples how many? He sent out his disciples, what? Two by two. Running buddies, okay? We were designed to function in teams, partnerships with others. Colossians 2:2 says this. Paul spoke of the church. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to be encouraged and knit together with strong ties of love. Now, anybody that's ever done youth ministry with me is really nervous right now because I throw things. And my family that did sports sits over here and over here, and they're incredibly athletic. Like, I'm going to brag on my cousin Mandy. I watched Mandy rock climb upside down. Like, it was, I literally sat there, I'm like, I am cool just for knowing her. Okay, so we have athletes in the family that can catch things. I can't. So I'm just going to start it over with my cousins because they will catch this. Okay, so here's the deal. Okay, Paul said this. He says, okay, I want you to be, as a church, encouraged and knit together with strong ties of love. Okay, I'm going to hold on to this. Because can you throw this at someone, hopefully with a good aim, maybe like, lobbing? When you just lob it over. And when you catch it, I want you to hold on to it. You don't have to tie it yourself. This is just me not being athletic. Okay. So I want you to throw it to someone and hold on to the rope. And we're going to do this till everybody gets really distracted and forgets what I'm saying. And then we'll like stop. Okay. So might last 2 seconds. All right. Shiny ball. All right. So this ball is string. I want you to throw around the congregation. And when you catch it, hold on to your part of the string and stay connected and keep tossing it. So when we are connected, when we are knitted together, when we are unified, we are stronger. Okay. We're healthy and functional when we're a network that forms, right? A network can function to hold more people. I want you to think about this net. This is my dad's way old school fishing net that's barely holding together, okay? All right. So we're called to be followers of Christ, right? We're also called to be fruitful, and we're called to be fishers of men, right? Okay. So when we have a tight-knit family, keep tossing it. Where's it going? Okay, good. We got another athlete tossing. I'm telling you, when in doubt, throw it to one of my cousins. They're like really good at this stuff. Okay? All right. So do you notice there's a network forming? There's a net forming. And when we are connected in close, genuine relationships, not, hey, good to see you again. Bless God. Glory together. Shaking, running over. How you doing? Bless God. And when you don't give an honest answer, well, that's not a confession of faith. Okay, we're going to watch those extremes. You got me? We need to be faith-filled, but we need to be honest and not lie. I'm not supporting a church of a bunch of liars, but you can give an honest response in faith. So my honest one is I had 3 years straight from the pit of Hades. But how am I doing? Man, I'm with him. I'm with the Lord. My heart is good. My heart is healed. Okay? Follow that? Anybody ask me how my life was for an interesting season of my life? You got an honest answer. You didn't always get the nitty-gritty details of it, but you got an honest answer. Okay? All right, so when we have genuine relationships that are forming, genuine, caring relationships, there's a connectedness that happens, and then people don't slip through the cracks. You got me? We can't be a church of a bunch of fake, hi, how you doing relationships? Good to see ya. We might need to actually sit beside somebody. You know, those of you that save seats for Jesus every Sunday, okay? I'm saving Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three people in between. Guys, it's okay to like, hey, I put deodorant on twice a day sometimes. How many people tried natural deodorant? Like, it's like four times a day. You know what? Just scooch over a little bit. Let's get connected. Okay, so healthy joints are connected, not disjointed. So Ephesians 4:16 says this, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying, which means building up of itself in love. Everybody say, build itself up in love. We got to build each other up in love and encouragement, okay? So Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he says this. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote three quarters of the New Testament. Went through the hardest times, man. He went through really, really hard times. But he found joy and faith in the midst of it, right? There was a fellowship of his sufferings, right? There's a partnership. When we partner with Jesus, Jesus says, hey, don't be disheartened when the world hates you, persecutes you, comes against you, tries to steal your stuff, you know, and slander your name. Why? Because it's not you. It's me that they hate, Jesus says, right? So there's a fellowship of his sufferings. But Paul also wrote one of the most joyful books in the Bible, Philippians. They speculate means an educated guess. He was in a dungeon, and back then they didn't have these auto flush toilets that, you know, put it out and like, we don't even think where they put it, right? Because this is America. We don't think about that stuff. It goes somewhere with magical unicorns and rainbows, right? But it went down, called this thing called gravity, and went down to the bottom in the dungeon. And they say he was waist deep in human feces half the time, or part of the time, that he dictated the book of Philippians, one of the most joyful books in the Bible. But he also had strategic connections that would come visit him in prison and encourage him in genuine connections. I'm so off my notes right now. We're having fun. All right. So Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul addresses the health and growth and development and maturing process of a body of Christ. By the end of this message, I'm believing we're going to be really mature. Why? Because mature believers have genuine relationships, genuine connections with other people in their fellowship. I have connections all over York County with incredible people at other churches. Genuine connections, okay? It's not networking for what people can do for me. It's networking to encourage other people. Amen? This is a network. All right. It's not about every member doing their share. Everybody say, it's not about me just doing my share. We don't just stop there. If you keep reading, it focuses on this word joint. What is a joint? It is not something you roll for all us. All ages know what a joint is. We're at that place. Don't even run. All the young people, what are they up to? Same thing you were doing when you were young. Okay. So a joint is a divine strategic connection. It is a running buddy. A running buddy. It's one thing for every member to do their part, but if you're not truly jointed together, hold up that connection, we feel detached and disconnected. Without running buddy relationships, our individual efforts get disjointed. Individual parts can't function successfully in isolated ways. If the only time you see other strong Christians is at church on Sunday morning, we have a problem. Be honest. Grow groups are really, really important. Did you know, I have a friend, her name is Ashley. She goes to the upper room. She became my running buddy because she has two kids. And at 8:30, she puts her kids to bed. And I go over there and we eat lots of carbohydrates and talk about our life. And we pray together. Okay? A genuine relationship. Okay, this is good. All right, where am I at? My notes, fun times. All right, so we have to be joints or strategic connections of a community. A connectedness and sense of community generates spiritual maturity. Everybody say spiritual maturity. When you are connected in genuine relationships, people really know your stuff. And my stuff stinks sometimes. Sometimes our stuff is ugly. Sometimes we messy. But Jesus embraced messy, didn't he? Okay. Spiritual growth and development in the body. Real spiritual maturity and health is when we are jointed with others. Ephesians 2, 21 through 22 in the Amplified says, in him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously. And it continues to rise, grow, and increase into a holy temple. In him, in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are also being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed adobe, dwelling place, okay, of God through the Spirit. Everybody, Every body part. Everybody is a body part, right? Okay, every body part needs connected to run a healthy race. All right, you try running a race with like a one-wooded leg, you know, okay? You try running a race when you're missing a relationship in your life, right? Okay, so when the storm hits, how many people ever, okay, I used to do what I call power walking for 3 hours. It was my time with God because I don't run. But mom knew this, like sometimes, this is back when I used to live with her. So it was really funny. I'd get caught in a storm and, you know, I'm a 3 hour walk away and 3 hours walking all around. And I would be sprinting, the only time you ever see me sprint. Let me tell you, sprinting through the rain, and Sherry wears lots of makeup. So it's lots of mascara and eye makeup. I mean, I am blind with rain, and I normally don't bring a cell phone, so I wouldn't be distracted. If I did, I'd be like trying to call someone, give me a ride. But okay, that's when we need a running buddy, because if you're caught in a rainstorm, the storms of life, we're tempted to quit. Curl up in the fetal position under a tree and wait for the storm to pass. But when you have a running buddy running with you, we find the humor in the situation, or at least the tenacious, we got this, we ain't quitting, we're in this together. Anybody heard of like the Tough Mudder like races? Raise your hand if you've ever been to one of those or done one, okay? Yeah, okay, they're tough. They're hard. They're really fun to watch and cheer for. I don't want to do one, but I am cheering for those that do. But it's something about the testosterone of doing one of those. It's like the man, hear me roar. They did just this crazy. Don't they like run through electrical wire and like banana stuff? But it's the camaraderie of doing it with the other men that are pounding their chests like gorillas going, oh, I am a man and I'm doing this and I'm not quitting. Okay. Get a running buddy. All right. Where are we at? All right. So when we feel like we can't take another step, our running buddy is going to throw their arms around us and help carry us to the finish line. They help us bring those burdens that we're carrying to Jesus, because sometimes we think we're equipped to carry them and we kind of forget that he took it to the cross already. They also declare the gold in us when we can't see the gold past the dirt of our lives. Amen. They prophesy life, hope, and declare a bright future with God. Amen. So here's my point where we're really getting, because remember, my title is Prophesy Grace for the Race. Okay, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to flow in conversations of prophetic words of encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 gives a very basic definition of what it means to prophesy. And there's many layers to it, but maybe take me 2 years. We'll see how it goes. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 in the Amplified says this: the one who prophesies speaks to the people for edification, to strengthen, to promote their spiritual growth, and speaks words of encouragement to uphold and advise them concerning the matters of God, and speaks works of consolation to compassionately comfort them. So what it is we start talking to someone. We have to choose to start talking to someone. If you are waiting to feel led to talk to someone, this is your county. I mean, come on. You know, it's your county. We're a little bit, you know, we keep to ourselves a little bit more. It's our Pennsylvania Dutch culture out here. The Northeast, it's cold outside. We're not trying to have deep conversations when it's like freezing rain, you know, in February. But so we have to choose to start a conversation with someone, right? If anything, start conversations with people in lines. If you go to Walmart, you have plenty of opportunities to talk to people. All right, so we start a conversation. And we basically just invite the Holy Spirit to kind of like start talking through us. God, how can I encourage this person? How can I strengthen this person? How can I comfort this person? A prophetic word is seeing the gold, the hidden gold in someone's life in the midst of the dirt of their lives, right? They may not see it on the outside. They may not even look it, but Holy Spirit knows. He sees them not as they are, but they're called to be. And when we speak encouragement, faith rises up, hope rises, vision for their future, and it builds strength within. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Just obey and start the conversation. I got tons of scriptures where God just says, hey, just open up your mouth. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I will fill it. For us girls, we got no problem doing this. We just talk and talk and talk and talk. Eventually we get to a point. God can really use that. For you men, this is one of the times where you're like, you know, all right, just start talking. And just be like, you know, say it inside. God, Holy Spirit, help me. How can I encourage this person? And we will get there. All right, I'm learning to talk more concise. Ask Nevin. He asked me a question, and I'll, like, talk 5 minutes and eventually answer it. He's a very patient man. Okay. Thank God. Thank God. My cousins know this as well. All right, so, we have to step out of the boat in faith and start a conversation and give the Holy Spirit a wheel. The prophetic word is seeing hidden gold in people in the midst of the dirt of their lives. It speaks life and calls out gold. And it's how the Holy Spirit uses you to show the God things in someone. The things that Satan does not want them to see. Their gifts, their talents, their value, their purpose, the greatness that's in that person, okay? And this dark, broken world really needs you to speak life over them, to speak the gold out, amen? No matter how busy we are, and how many people, raise your hand if you're busy. Busy is a mindset. I'm always busy. I don't even know my middle name for the last month. Ask anybody that has run into the office. I apologize. I mean, it's intense. I have to choose to put my antenna up to let the Lord speak through me to someone else. And I don't feel it probably 99% of the time. Just saying, okay, we're going to get to this. This message is about not having to feel something to speak into someone's life. All right, there are defining moments where we desperately need encouragement. And that's why God gave us this vital gift of the Holy Spirit to empower others with grace. Here's where I'm going. Everybody say grace. Grace to fulfill what God has called us to do in life. To encourage, build up, strengthen, comfort, and find golden people. We are a sent one. We are a missionary to the world around us. So no more excuses. No more delays. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? It's time to run, quickly obey to who the Lord is calling you to run to be a running buddy, to encourage them. It's time to receive all the gifts that God has for us and given us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of spirit-filled churches only talk about one of the gifts. There are so many. There are diversities of gifts. I talked last week about the gift of administration. You know, there's so many powerful gifts, right? So we have to prophesy, declare the promises of God over the people around us. All right, this is the deep part. All right, so everybody put your watch up. Okay, Isaiah chapter 35. The book of Isaiah was written by the prophet Isaiah. And this is an encouraging prophetic word to the people of Israel at Isaiah's time period. Now, at this time, Israel was going through a very prolonged, rough season. How many people have been or are currently going through a really long, rough, hard time? Okay. So sometimes it's good to find a book in the Bible written to people that are going through similar circumstances. It's how we find encouragement. It also acknowledges the reality of it was rough. Okay. Let me think here. All right. So the nation was split in two. So there was division in the nation of Israel. They were fighting amongst each other. And on top of that, all the nations surrounding them were fighting them as well. Okay, anybody sound like your life? We got people fighting you within your home, outside your home, in your church, in your neighborhood, people coming against you at work. All right, Israel was in a state of constant conflict. And and it was actually telling them in the first part of Isaiah, by the way, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Yay! Keep reading. If you're ever discouraged, read. At the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelations, we do win in the end. Okay, we always win in the end, but it does acknowledge some really rough times, okay? So God raised up the prophet Isaiah to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit to not only help them brace for that battle, but also encourage them on how we win in the end. When the story ends, we win, okay? So he encouraged them basically saying, God's got your back and we will win in the end. And he basically also said that the enemies that were surrounding them and attacking them are eventually God's going to cause them to turn on themselves and destroy each other. Sounds good to me. And the Lord said he is going to comfort and restore Israel. Isaiah was given these encouraging words by the Holy Spirit to Israel to tell them, by the way, you have been redeemed. He also prophesied about our Savior Jesus. Okay? And he says there will be justice. Everybody say justice. How many people have been praying for justice besides myself? This book was intended. It acknowledges the hard times and the things that they were going to go through, more hard times. But that it did say that there was going to be justice and redemption and vindication at the end, right? And so this book was intended to lift the spirits and faith of a discouraged people of Israel. So Isaiah 35, 1 through 2. And the New Living Translation says this, even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in these days. The wasteland, how many people felt like their life became a wasteland through some attacks? Will rejoice and blossom. Yes, there will be an abundance, everybody say abundance, of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green, and there the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. Sometimes you got to read something and let it sink in and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. We are given scripture so we can align our words with God's words. and speak them in faith, even when the situation of our current state looks really bleak. Impossible situations, dead, lifeless situations, deserts will bloom when we receive God's encouragement for what is to come and receive it in faith for the now, right? Faith sees things that are not. I'm standing in the midst of a desert, but faith says, I in faith receive the encouragement of the Lord and say, this desert will bloom today in the name of Jesus. And that starts something moving. Mountains and hopeless situations, they move when we declare God's word. Now, I want you to hear something. Sometimes we got to tweak the songs that we sing, right? So listen, don't be snobby and check out on a song just because you didn't like the way they said something, okay? Be spiritually mature enough to rise above and speak the truth, okay? So I want you to hear truth. The God of miracles is not moved by your need. This is actually in my notes. The God of miracles is not actually moved by your need. Otherwise, man, God be moving everywhere because the world's falling apart. The Lord God is not moved by your need. He is moved by your faith. Everybody say that. God is not moved by my need. He is moved by my faith. So we have to declare God's word to encourage not only ourselves, but others to build them up in faith. Now, here where I'm going, this is my deep things. I want you to, I've been building up. I might be building, this is like Holy Spirit part 9. Like, we go to 20. We'll see how it goes. Okay. We are commissioned. Everybody say commissioned. This is helping my sleepers. This is why I have you guys repeat. It's not, you know, to brainwash you. It's literally to wake people up. Okay. So, strategic. All right. We are commissioned to find people in places of weakness. Okay. We are commissioned to strengthen the community of people around us, the people around us that are running this race, so they don't quit. In our weakest of moments, Satan will tempt us to give up and quit. It's too hard. Just quit. I know you think you're called to do this, but it ain't working out. And every time you try to do, all hell breaks loose. So you must be doing something wrong. Sometimes opposition means you're actually doing something right. Sometimes opposition will come the hardest because you're on track. In fact, if you're not under attack, I wonder if you're not doing anything to rock Satan. If he's not intimidated by you, if he's not worried about you, he'll let you just live your little white picket fence, perfect little house, perfect little family that you lie about on Facebook. Your life is not that perfect. Come on. Come on. All right. Let's just throw that plug in there. Okay, you might be weary and downcast. And you might not be able to see the finish line ahead, but God's going to send some running buddies around you to declare God's faithfulness. Don't quit right before the finish line. Verse 3, Isaiah was commissioned by God with this news. Strengthen those who have tired hands. Encourage those who have weak knees. Strengthen their hands because they're just not working like they're supposed to. Strengthen their knees because they are running so hard and so tired, they're about to crumble. Have you ever run so long and so hard that your knees feel like they're about to give out? It might be just that 5 seconds where I'm trying to run home in the rain. Okay, just throw it out there. All right. Gym class for many people last time they ran. That's all right. I was an avid gym class participant. All right. That's when we need the running buddies the most to encourage us. So verse 4 says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. For your God is coming to destroy your enemies, and he is coming to save you. How many people have served in the military? I would like to thank you for your service. Thank you. Whenever I mention that, I was raised in a family where we honor those that have served in our military. So I was not in the military, but I was told of a military exercise where they, as a whole troop, will run this race with these really, really heavy backpacks on. And sometimes one person in your troop, in the midst of this, I don't know how long they run, but they run probably till they feel like they feel like they're this close to death, right? And sometimes somebody will collapse and they can't go any further. So they are graded as a group. And you learn fast in the military to function as one unit, one body, because they're all in this together and no man is left behind. So when this happens, someone will take that backpack off that fallen soldier and put it on top of their backpack. And two other soldiers will come alongside and throw their arms over them, and they will carry them to the finish line. When someone doesn't have enough strength to finish their race, we are in their race with them. And there are seasons where we have to help carry them to the finish line. Help take that burden off of them and say, listen, God didn't create you to carry this weight. He created the cross too. And let me help you carry this to the cross. We are called as a unit, a body of believers, to strengthen other people with the word of God and help them. It says to carry one another's burdens. Doesn't mean you take it on. You're not Jesus, but you help them take it to Jesus. We have to stand with one another and hold each other up till our knees and our arms are strengthened. You know the story of Moses, Aaron, and Hur? I don't have time to teach it. Moses was about to give up in the middle of a battle. He literally didn't want to give up. He just didn't have the strength to endure it any longer. And his brother Aaron and his best friend Hur came alongside and held his arms up till the battle was won. We have to allow running buddies to come along our side to strengthen us till we can carry out what God has called us to do by his grace. It doesn't just stop with physical help or an act of service or hugging someone. This is actually a lesson in prophetic ministry. I'm going a little deeper. You guys tracking with me? It's not just about waiting to get a word from God to prophesy to someone. Okay, this is the deep part right here because I felt like I had to go back and reteach some things. For my youth leaders that know me, I don't teach you got to feel God to know he's moving. I thought God used all hyper-spiritual people. I thought I was the least spiritual people in the whole youth group because I didn't feel nothing, ever. We have to step out in faith, not feeling, to obey what he's called us to do through his word. He is always speaking. So hear me out. This is what I'm saying. It's not about waiting to feel like I have a word to encourage someone. It's about tapping into the power of God's declared word that he's had written for you for thousands of years. That is God's spoken word. It is a living word. It is powerful for today. It is alive. We have to make a choice because there is an automatic commissioning with the word of God. To tap into the power of God, the scripture of God, to decree it in faith, not only your life, but over someone else's. Because when you have a revelation of the character and nature of God's promise to carry you through every hard, just backbreaking situation, when you know who God is, when you know he's a good, good father, he didn't cause that horrific thing to happen to that person, but he has the power and the grace to help carry that person through it. It is our job. We owe it to our running buddy. And if you don't have one, you owe it to the people around you to tap into a word from the Lord and declare it over their life, to grab our neighbor who's about to collapse and quit and say, verse 4, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. We are called to cry with those that cry, laugh with those that laugh. When someone is crying because of a deep loss, you don't tell them that, oh, don't you cry. The Bible says cry with them, but encourage them in the Lord. It says to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies, and he is coming to save you. We have to remind them that God is going to vindicate them. God is going to fulfill his promise. God will recompense them. Everything that they have gone through and lost, he will restore to them. And God is in the business of restoring double for your trouble. Sometimes we lose. I have been to more funerals than I would like to ever talk about. I've been wearing the same black dress since 2004. I've worn that, I don't know, 5 times in the last couple months. There are losses that happen to us. But we serve a good father, a daddy God, and he will vindicate and we will see justice. We don't always see it the way we want. We don't always see it in the timing or the ways, but he is just and justice only comes from him. And when you read till the end of the Bible, we win. Isaiah 61, 7 through 8. I read this over me for a good 3 years. Says, instead, I can't see past my tears right now, so deal with me. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. You will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. That's some gold. That is some gold to declare not only your life, but others around you. Even if you're waiting for your own justice, you declare justice over other people. Amen? Zechariah 9:11-12. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, Jesus' blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. How many people still have hope? And if you don't, that's why we everybody raise up. You need to stay connected with those that have. Because when you are drowning in the circumstances of life, you need a lifeline with someone that's got the faith to help carry you through. Do not give up. It is our job to pursue these connections. It's a two-way street, by the way. We need to get better about returning phone calls and texts. Don't make people invite you three times over to come for dinner. There are certain things in our Northeastern culture we need to overcome and pursue connections. All you prisoners who still have hope, I promise this very day, I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. The Lord promises double for your trouble. Justice doesn't always come in the timing or the way I want it, but it does come from the Lord. Now, I want to tell you this, and we're gonna kind of start wrapping up. So, all right, I don't believe in exaggerating, but we're going to wrap this up in 10 minutes. Scripture is not like just reading some Hallmark card for encouragement. People read that. I got my little Bible app. I get a little scripture a day. It's so encouraging. I just read it. It's like opened up a little Hallmark card I keep on my desk. I feel so encouraged. Okay? We have to declare by the Holy Spirit what he is breathing out through the scripture because it is alive. And we have to declare it and decree it over our lives and others and over our situation. Because when we do, it releases the very grace of God into a person's life. Grace is God's divine empowerment. I used to preach this. I took a year preaching this. So it is God's divine empowerment. It is his character and his nature freely received in our lives, in our heart, and reflected through our life. That comes from the word charis, grace. I could take 3 hours and teach that one, but I'm not. All right. We receive grace to do what God has called us to do. It empowers us by faith through grace, right? So prophetic declarations and words of encouragement release supernatural grace of God to someone's life that will help bring them into the very answer that they ache for. You hear me on that one? God sends you to someone with an encouraging word or scripture. We always have an encouraging word, right? Always at our fingertips. You know, a lot of times I have to remember when I'm studying something and something encourages me, I try to post it on Facebook. Just because, hey, if that encouraged me, that's going to encourage someone else. What if we took the scripture that encouraged us that day and texted it to maybe one or two other people? And it becomes living word, not only for yourself, but for other people. So God sends you to someone to encourage them with a scripture or word and say, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be intimidated. God is going to vindicate you. There is nothing that you are facing that God has not provided an answer for, a solution for. He will fully restore to you. He will vindicate you. They may not have the ability to face that situation on their own, but it's okay because we got their arms, right? We got their arms, and we are bringing vital, empowering, prophetic encouragement, strengthening their hands and knees to do what they're called to do so they can finish their race. We're their running buddy. We got to find a running buddy. Ephesians 4:29-30, New American Standard Version says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. I taught this last week. But only such a word that is good for edification, for building others up, according to the need of the moment. According to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace, grace to those who hear it. Grace is God's divine empowerment. Do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. And do not grieve and bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by the way that we live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. So don't beat yourself up if you've used foul and abusive language. We've all been there. Okay? Just repent. But notice in this moment, in someone's negativity, don't get pulled in their mud. I talked about it last week. Because you will grieve the Holy Spirit and miss an opportunity to speak into their life. Because we get pulled into their flesh out. So you can't afford to grieve the Holy Spirit with cutting words and sarcastic words. We might miss this divine appointment of encouraging words, grace-filled words that are according to the need in that moment. There is a specific application, and the living, breathing rhema word of God, scripture, just for what they need. That it would give grace to that person when you speak it over them. Grace is more than God's unlimited, unmerited favor. When we go to hurting and weary people with encouraging words, we're saying, don't be afraid, God will vindicate you. We give encouraging words, and that word of encouragement releases grace over them. It gives grace to them in that moment of need. Where does grace come from? God. Grace comes from God. So God sees me choosing to find someone, choosing to turn to someone in the line, choosing to start a conversation with someone at the gas pump. And I encourage them, and I speak life over them. I speak grace over them. And then God says, I'm going to add and release grace at this time. I'm going to release grace, divine favor, and divine empowerment where my son and daughter has declared favor. When you declare favor, when you declare grace, when you declare encouragement, when you declare empowerment, do not quit. God releases his empowerment. When your words line up with God's words declared over someone's life, grace is released. We have all been given the ministry of reconciliation, every single person. It is our responsibility to stand in the gap because we believe that there's a vindicator. I can't bring vindication, I can't bring justice, but I believe in the God that does, and I can stand in the gap for someone that forgot that or doesn't already know. We stand with them because we have confidence in God. We have confidence in his character and his nature and his goodness and his faithfulness to fulfill his promises. Faith is confidence in God. My uncle always says that, right, Uncle Jim? Faith is confidence in God. They may not be confident in God. You're confident in God, and your faith is going to speak the words of life over them that's going to awaken faith in them for God to move in their life. When we declare the word of God, God is, when we declare the word of God, God is going to vindicate you. God's got you. God will carry you through this. We release the power of God over them life to help carry them through it. That is coming along their side as a running buddy. You know, we as a church might have a revelation of being a son and a daughter of the Most High God, but we still need a revelation of what it means to be brothers and sisters, family, because family lays their life down for you. I've been blessed with this wonderful family. I've been blessed with a natural family. My sisters don't live in town, so I'm very close with my cousins and some of my youth leaders, and you. You've become my family. Family lays its life down for someone. Family, when you see a family member that is crumbling and collapsing, you grab them and you carry them to the finish line, because running this race together as a community of believers, the only way to successfully run a race is when we run with each other, when we finish together. Every joint supplies, everybody hold up your rope, every person is connected. Because if we're running healthy, we're running side by side. Everybody say this, if I'm running healthy, I'm running side by side. And that means we prophesy strength, encouragement, and grace to each other. Praise God. I have so much to say, and I think that is where we're going to stop. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you just stop when Holy Spirit says you said it. Well, Father God, in Jesus' name, let's stand up. Let's see how connected we are right now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you like movies like Rocky and Rudy, there are those moments, or even The Breakfast Club, at the very end, they throw their fist up in the air, and there is this victory because there was an overcoming. And I would like us just to hold that rope, that string, the divine connections, the jointedness of the body of Christ. We as church family, a network, a community of believers. And I would like us to stand in the gap for victory for those that are still standing to see it in this lifetime. Because the Bible says, we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalms 126 says, those who have sown in tears will reap in shouts of joy. So in this moment, I'd like to, any senior high youth, if you'd like to come forward, because they're charged up from camp, and grow group leaders, Uncle Jim, you're over men's group, Scott, any grow group leaders in the house, if you could just come forward. Because if you need some divine encouragement, if you need someone to speak living, breathing encouragement over your life, a word from the Lord, a scripture from the Lord, and I think we all do, I'd like you just to come up and let them pray for you. And as a, I'm just going to close in prayer, but I want us just to all, and like I said, you keep your fist up, because this is a declaration. This is a declaration that God is good. And he is a good, good father. And no matter how hard your race has been, and no matter if you've curled up in the fetal position for the last 2 years because you just feel like you can't take another step, the Lord God has put divine connections. He has put a church family. He has put friendships that are going to become like family in this moment to encourage you, to build you up, to strengthen you. So I beg of you, please pull on this cord. Pull on this lifeline. I don't want any more fake answers in this church. When you're going through it, you tell somebody you're going through it. You ask them to declare the word of the Lord over you in faith. You hear me, church? There was an extreme that came in here and it got us a little bit in left field. We speak the truth in what? Love. Okay? We speak the truth, but also in faith. So I need you to pull on this lifeline. I need you to pull on this cord when you're going through it. And receive the breathing, living word of the Lord. And you don't need to feel it to give it to someone. Amen? Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for every battle. Nevin, could we sing the first song, the victory song? I just feel like this is... We're going to declare some things in faith. We're just going to sing this song. We're going to declare it. And you are dismissed after we just finished singing this song. But I think we're going to take a couple minutes and declare the greatness and the goodness of our God. We will see the goodness of God. We will see victory. We will see goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Victory was bought at the cross. No matter what, we win with Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. God of us on this. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you.